Welcome to Healthcare Du Jour, where we dish up and digest the latest in healthcare. For the next 30 minutes, sit back as we bring you insight, commentary, and discussion on trending topics to the table, all expertly served up by our host and his guests. Healthcare Du Jour is brought to you by Carium, the telehealth platform enabling healthcare's digital transformation, helping you care for people within the fabric of their daily lives. Now here's your host, Matt Fisher.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining as we dive into the hottest topics in healthcare. I'm your host, Matt Fisher. On the menu today is Jeff Fallon, Chief Executive Officer at Uvidian. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to speak with you today.
So, Jeff, what I always like to do before getting into the real meat of the conversation is to give my guest a chance to provide more of an introduction in terms of who they are and what they do. So, Jeff, the floor is yours.
Yeah, thanks. So I'm the chairman and CEO of a company called Uvidian out of Grand Rapids, Michigan, and we're a patient engagement technology company, and we work with hospitals across the nation to use smart devices in the hospital room, smart TV on the wall, tablets at the bedside. We digitize the whiteboard on the wall of the hospital room, that sort of dry erase board that's woefully and often inadequately updated by hand, and digital displays throughout the hospital as well, all of which are connected to the information systems that the hospital is invested in, the electronic medical record primarily. And these integrations to these IT tools enable personalization of those interfaces, whether it's the TV or the tablet, personalized for a patient in their first language, demographically appropriate, but most importantly, personalized for the clinical condition that has them in the hospital bed to improve their understanding of what's happening for them medically and reduce the chances that they'll be readmitted, not to mention improving satisfaction along the way.
No, I definitely want to explore, you know, kind of more of that personalization concept. But, you know, another kind of initial question is that always interests me is, you know, kind of what first got you into the healthcare industry?
My mom's a nurse, my sister's a nurse, my wife's a nurse. I wound up going to Duquesne University in Pittsburgh, which is a pretty significant pharmacy school, and a lot of my buddies were going to be pharmacists. And it was really just being surrounded by people that were in the profession of healthcare that I wound up, it just wound up as a kind of a priority for me and a terrific space to have a career. I wish I could say it was some grand design that I was born wanting to be in healthcare. It's a fortunate thing that I grew my career in this space.
It's kind of, how do you feel that, you know, the personal connection to all those, you know, different clinicians and kind of the care delivery system has influenced your approach to working on kind of the solution side of the industry?
Yeah, so the first half of my career in healthcare was spent in medical devices and diagnostics and pharma business before I got into the technology space. And I've always felt that a great sense of honor to be working closely with what I think are just some of the most highly respected and rightfully so professionals in the world today. And those are people that care for human beings. They're highly trained and massively credentialed. They've invested so much of their time and lives into this profession of caring for others. And I've just felt like in terms of who you want to go work with on a day-to-day basis, there really was, it felt like one of the highest uses of my career to be able to work with people like that. And so while I'm not working personally so closely with doctors and nurses as I did for so much of my career, I really feel like that opportunity to serve those who are serving so many through their work. And, you know, particularly apropos to say that these days in this pandemic, is just a wonderful use of a career. So that's where my head was at.
And kind of thinking about what you were just talking about in terms of supporting and, you know, helping the people who are directly interacting with patients, you know, kind of turning back to what you were initially talking about, where, you know, your company's focus on that personalization and improving that interaction. Can you provide any specific examples of how that personalization, you know, kind of operates on the ground, and then how that enables kind of that better improved care that you're also talking about?
Yeah. So to just paint a picture for you, for example, when the patient arrives in the room in a hospital where our technology is lit up, the big screen TV on the wall can be playing some sort of relaxing distraction type images and playing some spa-like music to just make it a more serene environment when they arrive. And it'll have the patient's first name. It'll say, welcome, mat, so that when the patient shows up in this room, not only is it a more relaxing kind of an atmosphere in what's probably a pretty stressful situation for them, but it also tells the patient, even in a subtle way, that they are welcomed and known, that the hospital has been so careful about preparing for them that the room is already welcoming them in their first name, as evidenced by the electronic medical record. And when they first interact with the device, whether it's a tablet or the pillow speaker, to interact with this TV, then they can be further welcomed to the hospital in their first language, whatever language the electronic medical record says is their first language. The entire interface can interact with them in that first language. But the interface would be demographically appropriate. So if it's a child, it could be a kind of a cartoony or, teen sort of an interface. If it's a senior with bad vision, it could be bigger buttons, high contrast, more linear interface. So it's really a demographically tuned interface that then presents entertainment and distraction to the patient to just make it a little bit more comfortable to be a patient in the hospital room. But then the personalization that's really important and where we really earn our money with hospitals is personalizing a video education plan that's specific to that patient's admission. So whatever the diagnosis or medications or procedures or discharge plan is for that patient, there's a series of specifically carefully selected videos that are unique to that particular patient's admission that are automatically pushed to them. So that when you're watching TV, Matt, it would say, Matt, you've just been prescribed a new medication. Click this button and watch this movie about hydrochlorothiazide. So your education is now automated using asynchronous video, and the documentation of your completion and comprehension of that education can also be automated back to the electronic medical record. So it's, that's sort of a core use case, illustrating personalization of an interface, but something as simple as entertainment and distraction demographically chosen, but most importantly, that clinical education, the demystification for that patient about whatever's got them in that hospital bed. That's really the secret sauce of what we do in preparing people for life after the hospital.
It kind of sounds like by interweaving that entertainment relaxation aspect with the clinical information education, does that increase the likelihood of the people accessing, the clinical pieces that, I suspect the care team really wants the people to understand, because they see it, it's almost seen as an extension of kind of the entertainment side.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, Americans have done it. We've developed quite a capacity for consuming entertainment, right? And that TV on the wall of a hospital room is often this really lazy asset that is going to get eyeballs on it. And that's simply a reality. It could be a tablet at the bedside that is getting the eyeballs. But rather than sort of shutting that off or making it a terrible entertainment experience, let's get their eyeballs on it. And then while they're entertaining or distracting themselves, let's prompt them to do that which a value-based reimbursed provider organization really needs to do, which is help people better understand the condition that got them interacting with the care system in the first place, right? So, it's really about not relying on the nurse to walk into the room with a handful of papers to hand to the patient, expect them to consume and then understand and act upon, but really using adult learning principles, video delivered asynchronously, to just do a much better job of richly and appropriately educating people about their clinical conditions. And certainly data says that people that are better educated and engaged in their own care have higher satisfaction, lower cost of care, and better outcomes too.
Yeah, and kind of to that point, as you said, if you're more engaged, it's going to, you'll have more self-motivation. And it sounds like that probably then circles back to the initial kind of description that you're providing of being able to gather personalized information about the individual who is receiving that information, so it can help inform how you present it. So, I know you were talking about kind of pulling some of the information from the EHR. Do you find that it takes, kind of specific training or specific tweaks to workflows to ensure that appropriate information about the individual is collected up front to enable the personalization of the message delivery?
I would say that when you use technology like this, there is an impact. There should be some thinking about your process of care. How does the clinician use this technology to decrease workload, increase engagement, not move those needles in the wrong directions, of course. And our goal, though, is to not have the clinical care team going to some other destination to get information or put information. We want to grab the information from the right data source and then cause an appropriate engagement with the patient on our patient-facing tool. So it shouldn't take the nurse any more effort to have this kind of an engagement. It should be wired into the platform, and that's exactly what we do.
And I guess for different patients, do you find that you're more likely than not to have that information available? And you know, does that potentially tie into health equity issues where you know, it maybe makes the care team more cognizant of patients that are coming from a population that hasn't historically received the same type of attention?
Yeah. So for a hospitalized patient, all of the information should be in the electronic health record to cause the right personalization of this platform for that particular patient. There shouldn't be gaps in the EHR as to the language the patient speaks, their name, the medications, the procedures, the diagnoses, the discharge plan, et cetera. So those gaps, shouldn't exist. And I believe that, I know that technology like this, because it enables asynchronous video, not handwritten document type education, which is the historic way of educating patients, it can be an important lever on improving understanding and therefore equity in health, right? So if you've got a literacy level that's lower, than say the average American, handing the standard patient-facing education, kind of a document, multi-pages to that patient and expecting them to consume it and then actually act upon it appropriately and in a way that moves the clinical needle is probably a reach. Certainly using video to do this is going to be a lot more accessible way of receiving that information. You're not relying on a literacy level, right? There's certainly an element of literacy in videos as well, but you're not relying on the ability to read that information. Adding to that, that it can be delivered in the patient's first language rather than, whatever language the nurse happens to speak is an important lever as well. And then finally, the ability to go back and review that education repeatedly on your own time, as many times as you wish, is really important too, because if your education is the standard, the historic way where the nurse walks in with a pile of papers an hour before discharge, or maybe even less than that before discharge, hands them to you, tells you a bunch of things, and then you're out the door, the retention is not fantastic there. So the ability to access this stuff using video and repeatedly is an important lever on all those different elements of health equity.
That repetition point, I think, is a really great one, because as you said, it's, historically, you'd just be presented all this information in a rush as, probably mentally you're more focused on, I want to get out the door and I want to get back to my own home. Whereas, as you just described, if you're able to see the information at your own pace over the course of your stay, you're enhancing the likelihood that it's retained and then has that follow-on effect of reducing complications once you are actually discharged.
Yeah, exactly. And, there's a lot of course, everybody wants to keep patients out of hospitals. And the innovation to engage patients outside of the hospitals is tremendous. And there's many players in that. We're really focused, of course, we do things outside the hospital, but we're really focused on this inpatient environment because of several things. First of all, hospitals are on the hook for patient satisfaction and outcomes, even if if we're spending a great deal of energy and money to keep people out of hospitals, these are patients in a hospital, and you're still on the hook for that. So we need to do a great job at reducing the chances they'll be readmitted. If you don't have technology like this, you're left to do this mission of improving understanding and engagement, reducing cost and improving quality only on a face-to-face basis. And in a, even if there wasn't a pandemic, a really thinly stretched clinical care team has been historically really challenged to do this. So it just seems to us that technology is an obvious lever to do this better inside the hospital. And then the last thing I'll say about this, you know, our focus on the inpatient environment is there's this what we call medical moment of epiphany. If you're a hospitalized patient, you're feeling at risk and probably a little bit vulnerable and maybe even in fear for your life. And at that medical moment of epiphany, that's a great time to be able to reach out to people and engage them in a new way and in a meaningful way, because they're really looking for ideas that are going to reduce the chances that they'll ever be back there for that inpatient stay again.
No, I really like that kind of that phrase. And, you know, I think, as you said, it really captures a powerful moment. And for those of you just joining, I'm talking with Jeff Fallon from Avidian, and we've been talking about, you know, engaging with patients in the hospital using different forms of technology to better deliver information. And kind of, Jeff, a minute ago, we were talking about health equity issues and, you know, how that interaction can begin to help address, you know, some of those inequities. And I guess maybe to help level set, you know, from your perspective, when you're thinking about health equity, you know, what does it mean to you?
Yeah, health equity, in my mind, means that folks have an equal opportunity across our society to live a healthy life. You know, in our business, we're attempting to make a difference at that by using technology to tune an interaction, an engagement platform that's demographically selected for that particular patient, again, based upon their age and the language that they speak, just to educate patients to prepare them for life after the hospital. If you don't have technology like this in a hospital, you're relying on your care team, who is probably not as a modern technology platform can be, and or a staff of interpreters to be coming and going in the room. And those folks are stretched pretty thin, and they're all actually quite expensive too. So, you know, our goal is to use this technology to enable people to just have the chance to live a healthier life after the hospital stay.
And kind of, as you just said, the opportunity to have that chance, how, you know, are you seeing technology advancing that ball quickly enough? Or, you know, where do you see additional opportunities to help create more of those co-equal opportunities?
You know, say that inpatient engagement was increasing. I said before the pandemic, the urgency for these solutions seemed to be increasing annually. The pandemic certainly seemed to increase it even further, as hospitals realized that this kind of technology can enable engagement from pandemic safe distances that, you know, normally we think of pandemic safe distances and this telehealth idea of being like healthcare delivered from the other side of the country. But the other side of the inpatient door is an important pandemic safe distance as well. And so I'd say that hospitals really have accelerated their interest in this kind of technology. The health equity angle is, I think, maybe not the primary focus for hospitals that are looking to employ patient engagement technologies, but it is another one of the benefits of using the technology. And it's something that we talk with hospitals about, and it's certainly something that they care deeply about and want to improve. Just like, you know, these smartphones that we all carry around with us can do amazing and many things. I mean, it's every week, I swear, I find another new application for my iPhone that I don't know how I lived without the thing before. And so improving health equity has been, you know, these smartphones has been a real lever for improving understanding of health among Americans. And similarly, this technology is a lever for health equity with hospitals as well. We're just using it inside the hospital, connected to the EMR instead of outside the hospital, as often gets a lot of airplay.
And actually, I kind of like that description where you just said it's, you know, the equity is, or the ability to help positively impact equity is built in, as opposed to requiring a specialized focus upon it. By considering the, you know, the efficiencies and the opportunities presented through the use of a well-thought-out technology solution, you're increasing equity just as a result, because it sounds like you've chosen the right tool or the right, you know, solution that's in and of itself going to improve processes that have all these benefits that almost become too numerous to be able to specifically identify.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, the sort of smartphone or tablet revolution, the iPhone revolution, has caused, I'd say, just democratization of information. And, you know, technology in your hand, whatever your socioeconomic status, this thing is as powerful regardless of my socioeconomic status, right? If I'm homeless or I'm, you know, a prince, we all have the same technology in our hands. And when it's properly tuned and the application is built with an eye towards an important goal, like improving patient engagement for the reasons that we've discussed, improving quality, improving satisfaction, reducing readmissions, reducing costs, that's applied evenly across all carriers of these technologies. And the same idea applies to what we're doing inside the hospital. So yeah, I believe that health equity can improve through the use of this technology, because we're elevating the ability to educate everybody to the same level, rather than just those who have a certain literacy level, or rather than those who just happen to access some hospitals and not others.
And kind of along with that democratization process or outcome that you were describing, I think it relates back to what you said a minute ago about you can pick up your phone, whatever type of smartphone you have, and every week or every day discover a new application that you might not have known the day before, that once you build it in, as you said, you didn't remember how you lived without it before that. So I guess from that perspective, do you think we're still at, kind of at the beginning of recognizing the power that the technology can bring? Or do you think we might be slightly further along in that process?
I still think it's early days. It's early days for our company's technology. I think it's early days for your company's technology, Matt. I think that it's really the wild, wild west, even still, though a lot of us have been at this for a decade or more. And I think that the pandemic has accelerated that, as I noted before. The best is still ahead, right? There's still so much innovation to be done. I would say that what we're doing today, we're proud of it and excited about it, and we're excited about the future. But I'd say that in two to three years, things will look markedly different even still. We're just going to get better and better. And the competition is very good and making us stay on our toes too. And we hope to continue pushing this big rock up the steep hill. And, we all have the same goal here, which is transform what it means, how it is to be a patient, participating in your care, understanding your care, so that we bend the cost curve, we improve health broadly, because frankly, it's the right thing to do.
And I think you're definitely right, where it's, there is still so much change to occur, and it's going to happen very quickly. And, kind of picking up on what you said about how the pandemic increased the adoption, I agree with you that I think the pace is going to pick up that much more quickly, because we've now gotten past the initial hurdle of you have to adopt this technology because it's going to enable this change. Well, now a lot of that technology has been adopted, which will hopefully open the door for evolution and the determination of how best to utilize those solutions. It's kind of, it's almost kind of like what happened with EHRs after meaningful use, where you got it in, recognized all the maybe shortcomings or where it didn't quite fit, and now you're working to improve it. I think the technology we've got learned that lesson. So it's starting from a much better place and will hopefully improve that much more quickly.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, what the billions of dollars that we in America put into electronic health records, or it was money and time well spent. It was a big slog. But I look at that like data plumbing under the counter that enables some really cool, important transformational applications that sit on top of the counter and make use of that data plumbing underneath. I think the future is very bright in this space, and that means the future is very bright for healthcare in the United States and we as, you know, Americans who presumably will interact with the healthcare system at one point or another, hopefully in good health.
Yeah, no, and kind of that statement of saying the future is bright, I think is actually a great place to say, you know, believe it or not, we are already out of time. You know, so I think it's a great kind of optimistic message to leave people with. You know, so I want to thank my guest, Jeff Fallon, for a great conversation today.
Thanks, Matt. It's been wonderful to talk with you. And thanks for the opportunity to speak to your listeners as well.
And as you just said, thank you to everyone listening. Keep the dialogue going and connect with me at hashtag HCDEJURE. I'm Matt Fisher. Until next time.